from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Whether you're a duck or whether you're a beaver, your fantasy team needs a new receiver. It's Danny and Dusty at lunchtime every day. Maybe you're a tortured fan of Rip City. Danny and Dusty are here to take pity, hoping there's not a center with bad knees on the way. Talking noon till 3, Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Yep, I'm singing again, cause they haven't said I can't. Danny and Dusty love the teams the rest of us revile. Raising a Blazers banner would make it all worthwhile. Noon till 3,
an Odyssey station.
Hour number 2, Danny and Dusty with you live at 10 Barrel Brewing, right here in the heart of the Pearl District. 14th at Flanders, come down party. We'll be here for the fan draft party until 7 o'clock tonight. The Portland Trailblazers have the 7th and 14th picks in the first round of this draft. Danny, you said yesterday your excitement level was at a 13 on a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah.
Where are you at right now?
Like negative 1,000, but that's only because I've just been buried
negative
in my...
Negative 1,000?
I've just been buried in my phone. I haven't allowed myself. I think once we get off air, I think that's when I'll allow myself to start. Like,
I am so disappointed in you. You know what? Let's bring on some other draft insider then. Corey Tulliba is, and I have high hopes for what his excitement level is for this, because he is the curator of vibes, and he's also the founder of No Ceilings. He joins us again, Corey. Where are you at? Scale of 1 to 10 excitement level heading into the draft.
Oh, plus 1,000.
That's what I'm talking about. See, that's the energy I needed in my life. It's a crazy day. It's very busy, I'm sure, in your world right now. There is so much smoke signals being thrown out by every team in every direction. When you come into draft day, or do you settle into what you were thinking the day before, or are you open and kind of taking in all of the information and misinformation that comes through?
I'm certainly open to it. That's part of the fun of enjoying this whole process. I think what information I take in most seriously is, you know, the stuff that I hear from the people that I trust that have any kind of track record. Otherwise, you know, I'm just going to enjoy it and see how it plays out. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, much like, you know, the trade deadline, a lot of these things are being discussed. It's just sometimes things don't get to the finish line. So, you know, I try to approach it as both an analyst, as a fan. And I think, you know, that's kind of, if you're really, really into the draft, who doesn't get excited about, you know, players with outcomes from 1 to 7 or trades that may or may not happen?
Corey, so much of this draft is, we've spent this whole cycle talking about, you know, how good or bad it is, or whether it's a role player or lacking stars. We're here on draft day, and the excitement is still there. There's people talking themselves into player X or player Y and what deal is happening. As it sits right now, it sounds like 1 and 2 are mostly settled in with Sar, Risa and Sar. 3 appears to be that spark point for either Houston making a move or Donovan Klingon moving up. What do you kind of see is the first of all, your most likely outcome, and then not necessarily the craziest outcome, but what do you kind of see happening if things don't go chalk at 3 or Houston does make a move?
Well, the craziest thing that would happen if Houston made a move is that Kevin Durant would be going to Houston, I think, based on what has been reported. That would be the most shocking, I think, the most realistic. Because I feel like chalk a lot of the time is the thing that most oftentimes happens. You know, as much as Mikal Bridges was linked to the Knicks, right? Nobody thought it was happening the night before the draft. So I would say that the most likely outcome is that Reed Sheppard is headed to Houston. I'm a huge Reed Sheppard fan, and I think he's an unbelievable fit for that team, just based on the fact that he can kind of fill in all of the gaps and the little weaknesses that they have with his shooting and quick processing and those hit-ahead passes to the athletes. But yeah, I mean, look, Donovan Klingon, you have to take into consideration that he's another option for that team too. I mean, if there is a KD trade in some scenario, I mean, he's definitely been linked there, and he's personally my number one prospect on my own court. So I think if he went 3, it would be perfectly acceptable that a team would take him that early. So it's definitely right now the most chaotic pick. But with that said, even though it seems like the first 2 picks are settled in stone, Woj was reporting that Jabari Smith was going first 30 minutes before Paolo Banchero's name was called. So we don't truly, truly know, and I think that's part of the fun.
Founder of No Ceilings, Corey Teleba is our guest. All right, there could be chaos happening 1 through 6, but the Portland Trailblazers, which is what everybody here wants to know, what's your sense of what will be available and where Portland will go at that 7th overall pick?
I think they'd love for Donovan Klingon to be available at that pick still. In a lot of different scenarios, that could be a realistic option. If he's gone, I think that names to watch would be Dalton Connect and Matas Zellis. Definitely a little bit of Cody Williams in there as well, but I think that the team is definitely looking to add shooting the roster, and Dalton Connect can certainly shoot the ball. So if he were to be there still, I think he would be strongly considered with the pick.
We've heard a lot of up, down, back, forth, left, right, and everything else in between about what could happen at 14, because there's so much that could happen between 8 and 13 and how things shake out there. There's a number of names that have been linked to Portland Trailblazers, most recently Zach Edey, but also Kyshawn George, both of who came through in the same workout. When you get to 14, which feels so far down the road, which way do you think Portland goes if those guys, I guess, are on the board?
Yeah, it's really interesting, because I've heard that Portland really likes Kyshawn George a lot, along with Toronto. But Zach Edey is kind of undeniable, right? I mean, you know, if there's smoke to Portland being interested in Klingon, which I think that they are, Zach Edey isn't Donovan Klingon, but I mean, he's not all that dissimilar in play style, just being 7'5", 300 pounds, can score this back to the basket, but is also a really good lob threat, and just through sheer size is definitely a rim deterrent. So it wouldn't surprise me if they did go in that route. I've heard that it's a very realistic option. And I think a name, kind of a wild card in that situation to pay attention to, would be Bub Carrington, if he's still on the board out of Pittsburgh.
Bub Carlton Carrington. I just found out that was his real name. I just knew him as Bub like the entire time. So this is brand new to me, and I would love to have a Carlton Carrington on the Blazers roster. As you look at it, Corey, who could be the biggest riser that you see in this draft? A guy that has kind of been lurking, and maybe a team falls in love with him and pops up the draft board, and he ends up being in the top five or into the top 10, who he's kind of buried and outside of the lottery throughout the process?
Man, that is such a hard question because of how fluid everything has gone. I would say maybe Jacoby Walter. You could probably still find him in some lottery conversations, but he was a guy who preseason was, you know, potentially a top 10 guy, came out of the gate really hot, and then just really inconsistent. But he is still a wing who can shoot really effectively in a number of ways. So if there was a team, and things have been quiet on his front, there hasn't been a whole lot of leaks going on. So there might be a team there who's just like, you know what, I'm betting on the pedigree. I'm betting on his measurements. I'm betting on the attributes, the shooting, the shooter's league. I think he's going to defend. We just got to coach him up. I could see him being a name that goes from outside the conversation as a faller to somebody who maybe sneaks back up and can sneak into that top 10.
Speaking of sneaking into the top 10, over the past 24 hours, Rob Dillingham's name has come up a ton.
Sneaky, sneaky.
How much do you buy into these late risers, whether it's Dillingham, whether it's Walter, and how much of that do you think is perhaps teams just trying to put one last bit of smoke out there before, you know, things start to lock down for the draft?
Yeah, well, I've never really bought that Dillingham was going to drop as much as he has in recent weeks. I mean, I'm not to say that it's impossible. I think in the draft, we realize that this happens all the time. Last year, Cam Whitmore fell to 20 for, you know, a number of reasons. And Dillingham is a 6'1 guard with like a 6'2 wingspan, and he's 165 pounds. But if that's the reason that he started falling, because it was right around the time of the combine is when he started to drop. If it's that's the reason, like, I don't know, if you watched him, you'd be like, hey, there's a guy who's really skinny who doesn't have long arms. And like, it's all stuff you already knew. So I think there's a chance he even goes as high as five. You know, he is visited with Detroit. But yeah, I mean, he, because of his size, it's certainly possible that he drops. But it's hard to parse with a guy like him because he was in that like potential top three conversation for so long, and he just started dropping because of measurements that, to be honest, all these teams already knew about before the combine. So I would say that, you know, while he was dropping on mocks, I personally never believed he was going to escape the top 10.
Based on what you're hearing, what you know, and what you like, who are your best fits for Portland 714?
Based on what I like, I would say Dalton Knecht at 7. And I like Zach Edey at 14. You know, I'd also like Bub Carrington there. I'm a big Bub Carrington guy, and I think there's reason that he's rising. To be honest, like, I think they're going to have a lot of options. Tyshawn George is another guy that I just – 6'8", 40% from three and can pass. So they can go a number of different directions. I kind of think unless there's something super outlandish, they're in a pretty good spot to get a player who I think could stick at both positions.
Corey, we really appreciate the time, man. I know it has been a hectic NBA draft process for you on draft day. Really appreciate you taking the time to sit down with us and have a chat. Thank you very much, man.
Oh, it was my pleasure, guys.
There he is, Corey Teleba, NBA draft analyst, No Ceilings NBA. Go ahead, give him a follow. He's at NBA or at Corey Teleba, NBA draft dude on Twitter. Great stuff from Corey. And look, this is going to be a hectic night. How many of the draft, you know, insiders that we've talked to have all said the same thing, which is, I have no earthly idea how this thing's going to shake out.
Yeah, no, it's because we all have our biases, our suspicions, and the thoughts and opinions about stuff. But until this stuff actually happens, this isn't even about, you know, how right somebody is going to be, because somebody's going to have a mock that like, does really well. But the process behind it isn't going to make any sense, because how you got to player X at whatever pick is going to be a situation where you go, Yeah, but this team traded, and this team traded, and this team moved here, yeah. and this team made a trade outside of the draft that made this a more viable deal. Bub Carrington is a guy who is an interesting one, 6'4.5", 6'5", guard from Pitt, who didn't expect to be a one-and-done, came out and really showed out. I've heard Carrington's name linked to a couple different teams recently, and he has been rising up a little bit. I've also heard Portland looking around at other guards, which would kind of lead you to believe that there's probably a guard going out, at least at bare minimum, mm-hmm. before everybody freaks out, like, oh my God, they're digging a guard. Again, if they make a trade where a guard is no longer there, it's good to have more young guard depth. It's fine there. We've talked about Dalton Connect endlessly. I'm okay with Dalton, but if Salon or Williams is on the board, I squint at it a little bit.
Yeah.
For sure. Because, look, I don't think it would be a bad pick, and I get the idea behind it, but I don't think Dalton Connect is a starting level three in the NBA. I don't think he projects to that. I don't think a Scoot, Shaden, Dalton team makes a ton of sense as far as your long term, where if Cody Williams did hit, I think that makes sense with him at the three. If Dejan Salon hit, it makes sense with him at the four. I look at Dalton more as a juiced-up kind of bench scorer, which isn't a bad thing.
No, and you know what you're going to be getting out of him.
And I love his mentality. I think he's a dude. He can score at all three levels. He's a competitor. He's a better athlete than people say because, you know, he's white.
Yeah.
But it's a real thing.
That's what happens. Yeah. They're like, hey, he's sneaky athletic.
He's not sneaky athletic. He's athletic. He balled hard in the SEC, which, like, that's the most athletic conference in the country. That's yeah. If you're not, if you can't hang there, that's kind of like it's a weird spot.
All right, let's get into, you said movement can happen. We heard it from Corey as well. We could see names that are already currently in the NBA switching teams. We've already seen Mikal Bridges be the first one. Matt Ishbia, owner of the Phoenix Suns, he has spoken. We'll get to that, but let's dive into likelihood of Blazers moving a veteran, because we could see veterans being moved in the next 4 hours here to try to jockey for position and bolster rosters moving forward. This is Danny and Dusty on The Fan.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Can I throw out a candidate for potential worst day on the web?
Go on.
Like he could be the potential worst day on the web. Matt Ishbia. So we go back
and there's two. Sure. We can. Sure, it's there.
We can have that conversation because this could just be careening into the side of the mountain for the Phoenix Suns. But we've already seen Mikal Bridges moved. We know that teams are going to be jockeying for this positioning. And you made a very good point yesterday, and you've made it several times, but I'd like to reiterate it. A lot of teams are going to try to position because some teams need to get under the apron before the league new year starts July 1.
Yeah, right? June 30th.
Or June 30th, yeah. Heading into July 1, right? And then you go, there's other teams, so those teams are going to try to shed some salary right now. But there's also teams that want to have salary slots available to manipulate and work with post new league year. And so that has led us to seeing moves like we made with the Brooklyn Nets, sending Mikal Bridges to New York. And that opens up the door in the possibilities for the Blazers to be active today and leading up to June 30th. What is the likelihood that you see the Blazers moving off of a Brogdon, Robert Williams, Matisse Thybulle, Jeremy Grant leading up to the draft in 4.5 hours?
The only names that I've heard with any substance at all have been Brogdon and Jeremy Grant.
Yep.
There have been discussions around, I mean, basically everyone, because that's how this always goes. But the ones that have kind of come back to me is, hey, Team X is checking in on Jeremy. Oh, it's like they would like to get Jeremy.
I got drops on the road.
I
fellas.
Like it.
I accidentally hit that one.
There you go. A little misfire.
That wasn't me.
Oh, okay.
That was Russ.
That's
that
Russ
one was me.
Okay. The other one is, you know, this team is poised to take a run at Malcolm if X goes this way. And that's what I think. Their teams are lining things up. If X, then Y. If Y, then Z. And I think that's how you're going to see the order of transaction is once the periphery is kind of tightened up around things, and I think that the periphery, a lot of that has to do with an understanding of what Paul George is or isn't going to do and the cascading effect out of that. Or if you see a bigger move like a Darius Garland. I think, and if you see a Darius Garland traded to New Orleans for like Brandon Ingram, if they throw in Herb Jones, like I think that's like they grab the starting gun, you know, and it's like, okay, this is going here, this is going here, this is going here, but I still think Paul George is going to be that bell cow before we start seeing anything else. Or teams that just go, look, as much as we want to be in the Paul George Sweet Six, we can't get into it.
Yeah.
You're going to make your call regardless. You do your due diligence, but the why are you calling me, please lose my number phone call leads you to go, okay, if we know we're going to miss out on this, what if we're first in line for this other guy?
Yeah.
And I think that's what teams are trying to do, is trying to get these deals lined up ahead of time to try to be ready for when that comes.
I'm so interested in seeing kind of what happens with the star player movement that we had this discussion yesterday. The NBA is trying to curb that, right? Mm-hmm. They're trying to curb star movement because it's bad for business when you have stars jumping all over the place. But it seems like with the way things are framed right now, we may see more than ever happening.
The preemptive new CBA.
Yeah. Because it's like, our books, we need to get our books right and our books need to be clean. It may have the most adverse effect, and we could see a lot of, whether they are stars that are in their prime right now or on the back end of their prime, or guys like Klay Thompson and the Warriors had a conversation just the other day about his future and what it looks like with him in Golden State. We could see guys that are past their prime on, you know, the back 40 of their career. But those are big names that still have a little bit of gas left in the tank.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I don't think Klay Thompson's going to be, again, that bell cow as far as like,
he's
those
not,
opportunities. But
he's not making
up,
any moves.
He is up there because, you know, that's a big salary slot. He's still a good player. He's still shot 40% from three. He's still a 17-point-per-game scorer. And he's a, the Warriors are a potential landing spot for Paul George. And so there's a lot of stuff that goes on down that
path. And I'll tell you what, the domino effect of guys like Klay Thompson is something that people in Portland need to have their eye on. Because if he ends up in a place, say, Orlando, where Orlando and Portland have been linked and going back and forth, whether it was, you know, Anthony Simons or Scoot Henderson or whomever, there, we could see, you know, a Klay Thompson move to Orlando where he has been linked to because they need shooting in the worst way possible, that could affect a potential deal with Portland. I mean, there's a lot of these guys. I mean, Paul George to Golden State probably doesn't affect Portland all that much, but
it
the
does
dominoes
in the sense of
could
the assets going out
could start to a wholesale movement.
And that's what I think is like once everybody knows, okay, now Philadelphia, they've got all this cap space. They've got to move quick to capitalize. And I've heard some rumblings. I don't know how much I believe them about the Philadelphia 76ers making overtures to OG Anunoby. Because he is potentially, he is actually a free agent now.
Yep.
So, and they have a ton of money to go ahead and throw at him. And, you know, what if they added OG Anunoby and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope?
That would be pretty scary.
Right? Now you've got Tyrese Maxey, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, OG Anunoby, insert forward here in Joel Embiid.
And then you just hope Embiid can stay healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, hope and pray. And
OG Anunoby. But
start sacrificing in Philly, which is a scary proposition because that fan base would be willing to sacrifice.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing is you'd have to, you know, hide your dogs and cats and anything else flammable at that point in time. But like these are the kind of machinations that are being discussed in front offices. Like if something comes out of left field, like you can't sit there and be like, well, you know, we know the Knicks want Mikal Bridges, but are they going to give up 5 first-round picks? Most people didn't believe another Rudy Gobert deal was going to happen. I mean, the Knicks left 4 unprotected picks. That's a big haul, man. Like everybody's like, well, the Knicks are going to be good. What happens if they Memphis? What happens if they Memphis?
You know what?
And all of a sudden, they're injured everywhere.
But if you're a Knicks fan, well, you mean like they were this year?
what happens if that happens in the regular season?
But if you are a fan base, wouldn't you much rather have your GM, your team president, put him on the table and say,
absolutely,
we're making a run for it now?
But there is
the
real
anti-Neil
risk there.
O'Shea,
yeah, no,
where everything
real risk
was protected, and now like we're sitting there looking at, when is the Chicago pick going to convey?
Well, it's protected until 2028, and then it turns into a
second-round pick.
2 seconds.
Yeah.
So, and then actually after that, I think it's only 1 year of 2 seconds, and then it turns into nothing. So, but, yeah, I'm not worried about that pick and the protections and whether or not it conveys.
I don't care about that. What I'm saying is Neil O'Shea never put him on the table and said, we're pushing all in. I would much rather be in the situation that New York Knicks fan base is in right now because you head into this 2024-25 season with anticipation that you're going to have a good roster. You hope Tibbs doesn't run him into the ground again. You built yourself to compete with the top teams in your conference, and you've set yourself up to say, all right, we can make a run at a championship right now. We can go ahead and do this. We just had a guy walk in. He looks like Rob. He's got a beard and a Padres hat on.
Yeah, wow.
He's got, and he looks like he could golf right now. He could host a radio show right now. He's got the Rob vibe going on right now.
He had a
little Padres
lean
look
back in his walk,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
He didn't call you any terrible names, though.
Yeah, no. That only happens when I ever Rob, well, and Sukanik walks in the door.
I say, when a door opens, they walk in and you're in the room.
I'll tell you what, you'll want to be here at about 2:55 when they walk in the
door,
because you'll get to hear what nobody hears in the show transition. We're at 10 Barrel Brewing, 14th and Flanders.
I don't think they do that here in public.
Oh, that's adorable. That's adorable that you think that way.
You know. Yeah.
But I'm excited because now the Knicks, everybody says NBA is better when the Knicks and Lakers are good. No, I'm actually excited about this Knicks team because of the boom bust potential that they have set themselves up for.
Sure.
And it could just go south in a hurry with everything that you said. They are an injury away from it going downhill as fast as could be. But it's exciting because they have that window open. I could care less if the Knicks win a title, but at least they put them on the table and said, we're pushing all in.
No, they're not even actually all in. They still have some capital left. That's kind of the crazy thing. Is that?
Yeah, with Randall, with...
Not just that, they have some picks left, too.
Mitch Rob.
Yeah, they have some stuff left in the cabin. The cabin is not bare. That's what the Knicks are in a great spot. Turns out it's super fun to have assets and be able to cash them in and have opportunities.
Well, and that's what Joe Cronin has been trying to do here in Portland is assemble a war chest.
So that when the opportunity arises.
So you can make those moves. That's where Oklahoma City is going to need to start making moves because they have far more picks than they have roster spots available with a young, talented core. I desperately want Portland to be in that position one day where they can say, we're pushing all in. It's going to be a while, though. It ain't going to be this year.
It ain't going to be next year, probably.
But that's where you want to be.
Yeah, and this, I think this is another part of that process of setting the table up so that you can capitalize. Remember, it took the Knicks a couple years to kind of get here. If I told you 3 years ago the Knicks would be a team that you would see as a potential team in the NBA Finals at the end of this year, you would have laughed hysterically. The only person would be like, yeah, yeah, I believe that is Knicks fans because they believe everything that they're told. But look, look, Knicks fans, I love you. You guys are mostly fun. Some of you are outright lunatics, but it's. I think that's the part of the process that's nobody likes talking about is you've got to reap before you can sow or sow before you can reap. So that's what you do in the early stages.
You reap what you sow.
Yes, there you go.
That's how that whole thing works, huh?
I don't like it when I have to reap everything that I sow. That's not always fun. Speaking of fun, coming up on Worst Day on the Web, we need to get rid of AI now.
Oh, boy.
The love of God, we've gone too far already. But first, it's the Big Kahuna with Sports Center Update.
Hamburgers, the cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
It's time for today's Worst Day on the Web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
Today's Worst Day on the Web, brought to you by some idiot at NBC.
Yeah, this is weird.
NBC has announced that it's going to use AI to recreate Al Michaels' voice for custom recaps during the 2024 Olympics. Look, we don't do the hologram with Tupac, and we don't do Al Michaels' voice.
I'm in for the hologram with Tupac.
Nah, it's weird.
I'm in for the hologram. Now, if we give hologram of Al Michaels superimposed swimming against Michael Phelps in the pool, now I'm even more in.
Nah, this is weird.
He calls the play-by-play.
I don't like any of this, and it would be a little bit weirder if all of a sudden Al Michaels was actually rapping as Tupac.
This is... I don't like this one bit. And we saw this, remember with the writer's strike and the actor's strike, right?
Mm-hmm.
You had all the studios wanting to have actors sign into their contracts that they could use their voice, image, and likeness in AI moving forward. And they were like, no. Because then you don't need to
into perpetuity, which means I don't need to exist.
Yeah, and you can just use me, and I won't even be needed any longer. It's scary. It's creepy when you hear the AI stuff and how detailed and dialed in it can be. And do you remember the 2016 election when the big thing was deepfakes?
Mm-hmm.
And here we are in 8 years later and we're like, yeah, Al Michaels is going to be narrating the Olympics for you. Nothing to worry about here.
Yeah, there's
nothing to worry about here.
Nothing untowards here. Nothing bad will possibly happen. My wife and I went to the Cirque du Soleil Michael Jackson show in Vegas 2 years ago. And the hologram presentation of Michael Jackson...
Isn't it crazy?
It's a multi-million dollar system they run there. And it's from 40 feet away. It looks real. It looks like an actual person on stage. It's like they light it up like stage lighting, and it like you can't see through it. It looks solid. It looks like a real person, and it's not like that's a hologram. It's like no, that looks like a person. It's creepy.
And so what they're going to do with Al Michaels, right, is it'll only be for on-demand recaps, right? So it's not live play-by-play.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean.
Still,
it's super weird because one thing that I love and something that you can't get out of a computer is the human element of a sporting event, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no way that they could genuinely reproduce, like, the Miracle on Ice call, right? Do you believe in miracles?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could go ahead and you could program and you can say things like that, but it's in that moment, the human response to what is happening. Play-by-play would be ruined by it. But for a recap of something, like it's off-putting for sure that it's going to be computer Al Michaels that is making these. But to be honest, all those things are scripted and read anyways in those recaps. Mm-hmm. Like, where I hope they don't say is that the recaps went so well, we'll just do it in live programming.
Well, that's the thing,
right?
Is once you open this door, you start going down it. And not only that, why are we doing this? Why can't somebody else just do what has always been done, which is do a live recap?
I mean, there are elements where it'd be like, you know, for a Blazer fan, right? If you were to get like a Bill Shonley AI recap of a Blazers game.
I don't want it.
I don't want it either. There is a facet of Blazer fans that would love to hear that, though. Dodger fans getting recaps from Vin Scully. Lakers with Chick Hearn. You know, like, there could be your beloved Cardinals with Skip Carey, right? But like, it would be so weird
I'm going to go full Jurassic Park. Everybody was so concerned with whether they could. They didn't stop to think enough whether they should.
No.
Should not do this.
No.
They should not do this. What makes people great is that their lives are finite.
Here's the thing that I never understand is, like, who's coming up with these ideas and greenlighting them and being like, you know what?
People are cheap.
This is going to be great. This is going to be a fantastic idea. You think it's going to be cheap, though? Al Michaels probably charging him a pretty penny for it.
I would imagine he signed it up way as a lump sum.
Like he didn't read the fine print in his contract the last time he signed with NBC. And
I mean,
just
it's NBC.
It in there.
Do you think they're sitting there paying per royalty?
Yeah. After watching the Olympic trials, I'm in on Snoop Dogg. He's going to be doing the
Let Snoop do either live reads or live studio stuff, let him do the recaps.
Did you see him trying to figure out what the steeplechase was?
Yeah, it's great.
He was just sitting there like, oh, geez. He jumped on that hurdle. You can do that? Oh, don't get wet. Yeah. Like, it was gold the entire time. Give me Snoop on the steeplechase all day long.
Go full Idiocracy. I'll go dumb before I go and animate somebody either who's dead or dying. Like, can we stop doing that? This desire to, like,
dead or dying. Yeah, you are actively killing Al Michaels
now. He's not like getting healthier. He's like, how old is Al right now?
Al, yeah, he's, I don't know. Yeah, Swag is saying 74. I heard Swag with the
79.
79 years old.
Again, I mean, get busy living or get busy dying. I don't think he's on the living side of it anymore.
Yeah.
I love Al Michaels, but I mean, come on.
Like, Snoop did MLB broadcast, too.
Yeah.
That was great.
I'm totally behind that. We have let's explore other avenues for other people as opposed to trying to animate somebody who's either, again, not alive or somebody who's out of the game. Because, again, I know this sounds like so philosophical, but part of what makes humans great is that their time is finite.
Yeah, their time is finite, and to be completely honest, everybody, like, from a production standpoint wants you to be as vanilla as you can if you're doing play-by-play or you're doing a recap, right? But that human element is something that can't be replicated.
And the unique
they're trying
part
to do it. Here.
Yeah, and the unique part, they're trying to get the best of both worlds. They're trying to get Al Michaels doing vanilla.
Yeah.
To give you to get you to care about the vanilla stupidity. And it's like, no, I want no part of this. Odyssey, if you're listening, you do not have the rights to AI my voice ever. Not that anybody would ever in this world do that, but I just want to throw that out there. Do not ever reanimate me, AI me, put me in a hologram. I want no part of it.
I can't wait until you get reanimated.
God.
I can't wait.
I mean, that might happen.
A kinder, gentler Danny Moran.
Oh, let's be honest. Zombie Danny is going to be way worse.
Not...
I mean, that's just the reality. We know, we all know this. All right, coming up next, another stupid decision that is having a lot of ramifications around college baseball. Danny and Dusty, Today the Fan.
Oh, jeez.
Kristen Peek is putting up the first public smoke signal. The Charlotte Hornets are considering 6'10" French swingman, Tijon Salon, at pick number 6.
Nobody else has had that one yet?
Nope.
Like, what? I don't understand Charlotte as an organization.
There's been a shift. There's been a shift in the organization since they moved Kupchak out. They have a new general manager. They have a new head coach. They have a new president. They have new ownership. They have operated significantly more quietly. In the shadows, as it were. There's still, I think, a lot of distrust in the organization
yeah.
because they've been so bad and they've been poor. And
zero direction. Zero direction under the stewardship of one Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
Yeah, it wasn't great, Bob. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of exactly what comes out of this. There was a lot of flagging last year, like, oh, they're going to take Scoot. They're going to take Scoot. And I had heard probably a week out that they were taking Brandon Miller.
Brandon Miller.
We've long heard them link to Dalton Connect. We've long heard them link to Reed Sheppard. We've long heard them link now to Cody Williams. There's a lot of – Steph Castle was there, but now it seems very, 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 very unlikely that he will be available at pick six.
Yeah.
And we've heard him link to Castle. So Salam being tossed in there is the first time that we've really seen an opportunity for a new challenger approaches, as it were, for the Charlotte Hornets, particularly what? How many – 5 hours, 4 hours before the media draft?
The more and more we hear about it, the more and more things are playing out. Look, one of three guys is going to be there for Portland, right? That have long been linked to them.
Mm-hmm.
Donovan Clingan, which would be kind of pipe dream. A lot of people feel he will go far earlier. Tijan Salon.
Mm-hmm.
Cody Williams.
I think the fourth of that is Dalton Connect.
Dalton Connect. You think that... But if one of those three is available...
There are more than... I mean, we just had Corey Tellebaugh on who mentioned as well. If Connect is there... There are more than a few people that I have talked to in the NBA who think that Connect is the guy.
Do you think that is just based purely on he's a shooter, Portland needs shooters?
I think it's intel-based.
And then you go from... Because I would like Dalton Connect, but I think those three guys are the ones that we've heard the most smoke about.
Sure.
And Connect has been in there, so you're going to add him as a solid four in that group, or would you say
I think that's
a top tier, and then
I think Connect is on that tier. Okay. I have personally pushed back against it, resisted it. I think not because I don't believe the people that are telling me, I just don't want to believe it.
Don't want sneaky athletic.
It's not that I don't like Connect.
Don't like the gym rat.
I don't think he's the perfect fit there.
Is he a coach's kid too?
Yeah, I think so. I think there is a comfortability with him because he is a shooter. He is a scorer. You know how he's going to get on the floor. You know what his skill set is. And after having Scoot Henderson and Shaedon Sharpe, two guys who are not projects, but the guys that are prospects, I think having something a little bit clearer makes some sense for them. But I don't understand how you get him on the floor and pair him up with those two in the long term.
Yeah.
That, to me, doesn't make nearly as much sense.
All right, Tijan Salon, according to Kristen Peek, who we had on yesterday, is firing up that smoke signal that, hey, Charlotte at six, now very interested. And this is like the thing. You have the draft workout board that you have compiled on your Patreon, where it was at 34 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, so the final number, check my phone.
And I think the point here is that every team with the instability of the pick ranges of some of the guys that you see in this draft, every team probably outside of Atlanta and Washington has brought through that many guys. Like, they're just bringing
even
in
I don't
everybody.
Think no, Portland, the final total of players who are declared for the draft, so this does not count the ones that withdrew or went back to school. Total draftable prospects was 44.
44 draftable prospects coming through Portland that you've been able to confirm, which there still could be.
No, that is.
That's it? You got all of them now?
That is. Well, I don't have every single name. I have the number.
Okay, you got the number.
I know exactly how many have come through.
44, and you're looking at.
I'm missing three still.
Four potential draft spots. Mm-hmm. So they brought in 11 guys for each potential draft spot. And look, some of those guys, as we've mentioned before, are guys that they feel will be undrafted even and could be guys that you just signed
I mean, even then, at the back of the draft. This is the draftable guys. So these are guys that, you know, the Oso Iguodoros of the world, even though he's slated between 55 and 58, he's still draftable.
Yeah.
So there's a couple different opportunities there. But, yeah, they brought in 44 guys. That's the final tally number.
Golly.
It's a lot. It's a lot of folks to work out.
Now, if Charlotte comes through and snipes the Blazers again and gets the guy that they wanted back-to-back years, Do we start a rivalry? Do we have to start a rivalry with Charlotte?
I don't know if you start a rivalry.
Is the Queen City in the Rose City then fighting?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can maybe, you know, mail a fart bomb kind of deal. Like, you know, but...
That just got you on another watch list.
Ah, come on. Like, there's not a single watch list that I'm not on.
Yeah. Actually, that's been... Somehow,
I'm still on TSA PreCheck. That guy, he's been on government airlines enough. He's been fine.
They gotta tighten that up.
Yeah, no.
They've gotta tighten that up. You got PreCheck. Can you get clear though?
Yeah, that's what. No, I do.
You got clear.
I had to get it for to travel to Hawaii.
Wait, you had to?
Yeah. During the pandemic.
Oh, during the pandemic. Yeah.
Yeah. To get to Hawaii, you had to have it. As weird as that is. Well, I'm sorry. You didn't have to have it. It just when you got to Hawaii, you would have to spend like 5 hours in line, and I was not about that life. So,
yeah.
Again, this is not me being against Dalton Connect. No. I like him as a player. One of the things that I noticed when I actually got to see him in person, he's bigger than I thought. He's 6'5", close to 6'6", decent wingspan. He's not like incredibly long, but he's not Nikola Topic, where he's got a negative wingspan. He can score from every level. He's not the typical white guy shooter. Yeah, he can get his shot off. There's no doubt about that. But he's also a guy who can attack off the bounce a little bit. He can get into the mid-range. He can get to the rim. His handle is tight enough to where he can create his own shot. He's created for others. Like, Tennessee went to him and said, run our offense. And so you take a look at that and you go, okay, he was very efficient. He was very productive. I've heard people say, well, he's not a good...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
Today's worst day on the web, brought to you by some idiot at NBC.
Yeah. This is weird.
NBC has announced that it's going to use AI to recreate Al Michaels' voice for custom recaps during the 2024 Olympics. Look, we don't do the hologram with Tupac, and we don't do Al Michaels' voice.
I'm in for the hologram with Tupac.
Nah, it's weird.
I'm in for the hologram. Now, if we give hologram of Al Michaels superimposed swimming against Michael Phelps in the pool. Now I'm even more in.
Nah, this is weird.
He calls the play-by-play.
I don't like any of this, and it would be a little bit weirder if all of a sudden Al Michaels was actually rapping as Tupac.
This is... I don't like this one bit. And we saw this, remember with the writer's strike and the actor's strike, right? Mm-hmm. You had all the studios wanting to have actors sign into their contracts that they could use their voice, image, and likeness in AI moving forward. And they were like, no, because then you don't need to
into perpetuity, which means I don't need to exist.
Yeah, and you can just use me, and I won't even be needed any longer. I don't... It's scary. It's creepy when you hear the AI stuff and how detailed and dialed in it can be. And do you remember what that was? What the 2016 election when they were the big thing was deepfakes.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are in 8 years later, and we're like, yeah, Al Michaels is going to be narrating the Olympics for you. Nothing to worry about here.
Yeah,
there's nothing to worry about here.
Nothing untowards here. Nothing bad will possibly happen. My wife and I went to the Cirque du Soleil Michael Jackson show in Vegas 2 years ago. And the hologram presentation of Michael Jackson...
Isn't it crazy?
It's a multi-million dollar system they run there. And it's from 40 feet away. It looks real. It looks like an actual person on stage. It's like they light it up like stage lighting, and it, like, you can't see through it. It looks solid. It looks like a real person, and it's not like, you know, oh, that's a hologram. It's like, no, that looks like a person. It's creepy.
And so what they're going to do with Al Michaels, right, is it'll only be for on-demand recaps, right? So it's not live play-by-play.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean...
Still,
it's super weird because one thing that I love and something that you can't get out of a computer is the human element of a sporting event, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no way that they could genuinely reproduce, like, the Miracle on Ice call, right? Do you believe in miracles? Mm-hmm. I mean, you could go ahead and you could program and you can say things like that, but it's in that moment, the human response to what is happening. Play-by-play would be ruined by it. But for a recap of something, like it's off-putting for sure that it's going to be computer Al Michaels that is making these. But to be honest, all those things are scripted and read anyways in those recaps.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where I hope they don't say is that the recaps went so well, we'll just do it in live programming.
Well, that's the thing,
right?
Is that once you open this door, you start going down it. And not only that, why are we doing this? Why can't somebody else just do what has always been done, which is do a live recap?
I mean, there are elements where it'd be like, you know, for a Blazer fan, right? If you were to get like a Bill Shonley AI recap of a Blazers game. I don't want it either. There is a facet of Blazer fans that would love to hear that, though. Dodger fans getting recaps from Vin Scully, Lakers with Chick Hearn, you know, like, there could be your beloved Cardinals with Skip Carey, right?
But
like, it would be so weird
for me. I'm going to go full Jurassic Park. Everybody was so concerned with whether they could. They didn't stop to think of enough whether they should.
No.
They should not do this.
No.
They should not do this. What makes people great is that their lives are finite.
Here's the thing that I never understand is, like, who's coming up with these ideas and greenlighting them and being like, you know what?
People are cheap.
This is going to be great. This is going to be a fantastic idea. You think it's going to be cheap, though? Al Michaels probably charging him a pretty penny for it.
I would imagine he signed it up way as a lump sum.
Like he didn't read the fine print in his contract the last time he signed with NBC. And
I mean,
just
it's NBC.
It in there.
Do you think they're sitting there paying per royalty?
Yeah. After watching the Olympic trials, I'm in on Snoop Dogg. He's going to be doing the
studio. Let Snoop do either live reads or live studio stuff, let him do the recaps.
Did you see him trying to figure out what the steeplechase was?
Yeah, it's great.
He was just sitting there like, oh, geez. He jumped on that hurdle. You can do that? Oh, don't get wet.
Yeah.
Like, it was gold the entire time. On the steeplechase all day long.
Go full Idiocracy. I'll go dumb before I go and animate somebody either who's dead or dying. Like, can we stop doing that? This desire to, like...
Dead or dying.
Yeah,
you are actively killing Al Michaels right now.
He's not like getting healthier. He's like, how old is Al right now?
Al, yeah, he's, I don't know. Yeah, Swag is saying 74. I heard Swag with the 79 years old.
Again, I mean, get busy living or get busy dying. I don't think he's on the living side of it anymore.
Yeah.
And look, I love Al Michaels, but I mean, come on.
Like Snoop did MLB broadcast too.
Yeah.
That was great.
I'm totally behind that. We have let's explore other avenues for other people as opposed to trying to animate somebody who's either, again, not alive,
yeah,
or somebody who's out of the game. Because, again, I know this sounds like so philosophical, but part of what makes humans great is that their time is finite.
Yeah, their time is finite, and to be completely honest, everybody, like, from a production standpoint wants you to be as vanilla as you can if you're doing play-by-play or you're doing a recap, mm-hmm, right? But that human element is something that can't be replicated.
And they're trying to do it. Yeah, here. And the yeah. unique part, they're trying to get the best of both worlds. They're trying to get Al Michaels doing vanilla.
Yeah.
To get you to care about the vanilla stupidity. And it's like, no, I want no part of this. Odyssey, if you're listening, you do not have the rights to AI my voice ever. Not that anybody would ever in this world do that, but I just want to throw that out there. Do not ever reanimate me, AI me, put me in a hologram. I want no part of it.
I can't wait until you get reanimated.
God.
I can't wait.
I mean, that kinder, might happen.
Just because kinder, gentler Danny.
Oh, let's be honest. Zombie Danny is going to be way worse.
Not...
I mean, that's just the reality. We all know this. All right, coming up next, another stupid decision that is having a lot of ramifications around college baseball. Danny and Dusty, Today the Fan.
Oh, jeez.
Kristen Peek is putting up the first public spokesignal. The Charlotte Hornets are considering 6'10" French swingman Tijon Salon at pick number 6.
Nobody else has had that one yet?
Nope.
Like, what? Nope. I don't understand Charlotte as an organization.
There's been a shift. There's been a shift in the organization since they moved Kupchak out. They have a new general manager. They have a new head coach. They have a new president. They have new ownership. They have operated significantly more quietly. In the shadows, as it were. There's still, I think, a lot of distrust in the organization,
yeah,
because they've been so bad and they've been poor. And
zero direction. Zero direction under the stewardship of one Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
Yeah, it wasn't great, Bob. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of exactly what comes out of this. There was a lot of flagging last year, like, oh, they're going to take Scoot. They're going to take Scoot. And I had heard probably a week out that they were taking Brandon Miller.
Brandon Miller.
We've long heard them link to Dalton Connect. We've long heard them link to Reed Sheppard. We've long heard them link now to Cody Williams. There's a lot of... Steph Castle was there, but now it seems very, 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 very unlikely that he would be available at pick 6.
Yeah.
And we've heard him link to Castle. So Salon being tossed in there is the first time that we've really seen an opportunity for... A new challenger approaches, as it were, for the Charlotte Hornets. Particularly, what? How many? 5 hours? 4 hours before the NBA draft?
The more and more we hear about it, the more and more things are playing out. Look, one of three guys is going to be there for Portland, right? That have long been linked to them.
Mm-hmm.
Donovan Clingan, which would be kind of pipe dream. A lot of people feel he will go far earlier. Tijon Salon.
Mm-hmm.
Cody Williams.
I think the fourth of that is Dalton Connect.
Dalton, you think that, but if one of those three is available.
There are more than, I mean, we just had Corey Tellebo on who mentioned as well. If Connect is there, there are more than a few people that I have talked to in the NBA who think that Connect is the guy.
But do you think that is just based purely on he's a shooter? Portland needs shooters.
I think it's intel-based.
And then you go from... Because I would like Dalton Connect, but I think those three guys are the ones that we've heard the most smoke about.
Sure.
And Connect has been in there, so you're going to add him as a four, as a solid four in that group? Or would you say
I think that's,
that's a top tier, and then
I think Connect is on that tier. Okay. I have personally pushed back against it, resisted it. I think not because I don't believe the people that are telling me. I just don't want to believe it.
You don't want sneaky athletic.
It's not that I don't like Connect.
You don't like the gym rat.
I don't think he's the perfect fit there.
Is he a coach's kid too?
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I think there is a comfortability with him because he is a shooter. He is a scorer. You know how he's going to get on the floor. You know what his skill set is. And after having Scoot Henderson and Shaedon Sharpe, two guys who are not projects, but the guys, they're prospects, I think having something a little bit clearer makes some sense for them. But I don't understand how you get him on the floor and pair him up with those two in the long term.
Yeah.
That, to me, doesn't make nearly as much sense.
All right, Tijan Salon, according to Kristen Peek, who we had on yesterday, is firing up that smoke signal that, hey, Charlotte at six, now very interested. And this is like the thing. You have the draft workout board that you have compiled on your Patreon, where it was at 34 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, so the final number, check my phone.
And I think the point here is that every team with the instability of the pick ranges of some of the guys that you see in this draft, every team probably outside of Atlanta and Washington has brought through that many guys. Like, they're just bringing in I don't everybody.
No, Portland, the final total of players who are declared for the draft, so this does not count the ones that withdrew or went back to school. Total draftable prospects was 44.
44 draftable prospects coming through Portland that you've been able to confirm, which there still could be.
No, that is.
That's it? That you got all of them now?
That is. Well, I don't have every single name. I have the number.
Okay, you got the number.
I know exactly how many have come through.
44, and you're looking at.
I'm missing three still.
Four potential draft spots. Mm-hmm. So they brought in 11 guys for each potential draft spot. And look, some of those guys, as we've mentioned before, are guys that they feel will be undrafted even, and could be guys that you just signed to the G League remix team.
I mean, even then, at the back of the draft. This is the draftable guys. So these are guys that, you know, the Oso Iguodoro's of the world, even though he's slated between 55 and 58, he's still draftable.
Yeah.
So there's a couple different opportunities there. But, yeah, they brought in 44 guys. That's the final tally number.
Golly.
It's a lot. It's a lot of folks to work out.
Now, if Charlotte comes through and snipes the Blazers again and gets the guy that they wanted back-to-back years, do we start a rivalry? Do we have to start a rivalry with Charlotte?
I don't know if you start a rivalry.
Is the Queen City in the Rose City then fighting?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can maybe, mail a fart bomb kind of deal. Like, but...
That just got you on another watch list.
Ah, come on. Stinky. Like, there's not a single watch list that I'm not on.
Yeah. Actually, that's been true.
I'm still on TSA pre-check. That guy, he's been on government airlines enough. He's been fine.
They gotta tighten that up.
Yeah, no.
They've gotta tighten that up. You got pre-check. Can you get clear, though?
Yeah, that's what. No, I do.
You got clear.
I had to get it for to travel to Hawaii.
Wait, you had to?
Yeah. During the pandemic.
Oh, during the pandemic. Yeah. Yeah.
To get to Hawaii, you had to have it. As weird as that is. I'm so sorry. You didn't have to have it. It just when you got to Hawaii, you would have to spend like 5 hours in line. And I was not about that life. So,
yeah.
Again, this is not me being against Dalton Connect. No. I like him as a player. One of the things that I noticed when I actually got to see him in person, he's bigger than I thought. He's 6'5", close to 6'6", decent wingspan. He's not like incredibly long, but he's not Nikola Topic where he's got a negative wingspan. He can score from every level. Like, he's not the typical white guy shooter. Yeah, he can get his shot off. There's no doubt about that. But he's also a guy who can attack off the bounce a little bit. He can get into the mid-range. He can get to the rim. His handle is tight enough to where he can create his own shot. He's created for others. Like, Tennessee went to him and said, run our offense. And so you take a look at that and you go, okay, he was very efficient. He was very productive. Like, I've heard some people say, well, he's not a good defender. Very, 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 very few people in the history of the NBA who are that kind of prolific offensively are also good defenders because you have to expend so much energy on the offensive side of the floor. So if you dial back his usage rate, I do think he's a functional defender. Now, I do worry about him, like who he defends, because he's kind of caught in between, not fast enough for twos, maybe needs to get a little bit stronger to handle most threes that are like, again, You don't have Luka stoppers. You don't have Kawhi stoppers. That's why they are who they are. But you take a look at those kind of guys and you're like, can you see Dalton Knecht starting and guarding that guy night in, night out?
And that goes back to our conversation that we had about Knecht early on in the draft process when he was one of the first wave of guys to come through and work out for Portland. Was his usage rate at Tennessee was so high, ball was in his hand so often that you then have that conversation of, all right, does he have the ability to work more off ball and have that spot up shooter ability? And by all accounts, all the evaluations say yes, he does.
I mean, here's your number.
He can operate without the ball in his hand and still be just as effective.
In the spot up with percentage sports, he was at a 94th percentile in points per possession.
Okay.
In all of college basketball. On volume. So, yeah. He can do it on the ball. He can do it off the ball. And I think he's the kind of guy who makes a ton of sense for this team in general. But
we're talking ourselves into it.
I'm not talking myself into it. I understand the motivations behind it. I think it's more of a, this is a, not square peg round hole, but it's like octagon peg round hole. Like, you can make it fit. You can stuff it in there. But It's gonna be a little tough.
Story of Danny's life. Yeah, you can stuff it in there.
I mean, it's, you know, it's if there's a will, there's a way situation, right? You know, every now and then the wood chipper, you need something a little push on the back end, right?
I love it.
All right, coming up next, we will be joined by Trailblazers beat reporter. I believe this is his official title.
Content creator,
longtime coverer of the Portland Trailblazers, Mr. Casey Holdall. He will join us on the back end in hour number three here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
Oh, jeez.
Kristen Peek is putting up the first public smoke signal. The Charlotte Hornets are considering 6'10" French swingman Tijon Salon at pick number 6.
Nobody else has had that one yet?
Nope.
Like, what? Nope. I don't understand Charlotte as an organization.
There's been a shift in the organization since they moved Kupchak out. They have a new general manager. They have a new head coach. They have a new president. They have new ownership. They have operated significantly more quietly, in the shadows, as it were. There's still, I think, a lot of distrust in the organization,
yeah,
because they've been so bad and they've been poor and
zero direction under the stewardship of one Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
Yeah, it wasn't great, Bob. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of exactly what comes out of this. There was a lot of flagging last year, like, oh, they're going to take Scoot, and I had heard probably a week out that they were taking Brandon Miller. We've long heard them link to Dalton Knecht. We've long heard them linked to Reed Sheppard. We've long heard them linked now to Cody Williams. There's a lot of... Steph Castle was there, but now it seems very, 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 very unlikely that he would be available at pick 6.
Yeah.
We've heard him linked to Castle. So Salon being tossed in there is the first time that we've really seen an opportunity for a new challenger approaches, as it were, for the Charlotte Hornets. Particularly, what, how many, 5 hours, 4 hours before the NBA draft?
The more and more we hear about it, the more and more things are playing out. Look, one of three guys is going to be there for Portland, right? That have long been linked to them.
Mm-hmm.
Donovan Clingan, which would be kind of pipe dream. A lot of people feel he will go far earlier. Tijon Salon.
Mm-hmm.
Cody Williams.
I think the fourth of that is Dalton Knecht.
Dalton, you think that, but if one of those three is available.
There are more than, I mean, we just had Corey Tellewa on who mentioned as well. If Knecht is there, there are more than a few people that I have talked to in the NBA who think that Knecht is the guy.
But do you think that is just based purely on he's a shooter, Portland needs shooters?
I think it's intel-based.
And then you go from, because I would like Dalton Knecht, but I think those three guys are the ones that we've heard the most smoke about.
Sure.
And Knecht has been in there, so you're going to add him as a solid four in that group, or would you say
I think that's
a top tier, and then
I think Knecht is on that tier. Okay. I have personally pushed back against it, resisted it. I think not because I don't believe the people that are telling me, I just don't want to believe it.
You don't want sneaky athletic.
It's not that I don't like Connect.
Don't like the gym rat.
I don't think he's the perfect fit there.
Is he a coach's kid too?
Yeah, I think so. I think there is a comfortability with him because he is a shooter. He is a scorer. You know how he's going to get on the floor. You know what his skill set is. And after having Scoot Henderson and Shaedon Sharpe, two guys who are not projects, but the prospects, I think having something a little bit clearer makes some sense for them. But I don't understand how you get him on the floor and pair him up with those two in the long term.
Yeah.
That, to me, doesn't make nearly as much sense.
All right, Tijan Salon, according to Kristen Peek, who we had on yesterday, is firing up that smoke signal that, hey, Charlotte at 6, now very interested. And this is like the thing. You have the draft workout board that you have compiled on your Patreon, where it was at 34 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, so the final number, check my phone.
And I think the point here is that every team with the instability of the pick ranges of some of the guys that you see in this draft, every team probably outside of Atlanta and Washington has brought through that many guys. Like, they're just bringing in everybody.
No, Portland, the final total of players who are declared for the draft, so this does not count the ones that withdrew or went back to school. Total draftable prospects was 44.
44 draftable prospects coming through Portland that you've been able to confirm, which there still could be.
No, that is.
That's it? You got all of them now?
That is. Well, I don't have every single name. I have the number.
Okay, you got the
number.
I know
exactly how many have come through.
44, and you're looking at.
I'm missing three still.
Four potential draft spots. Mm-hmm. So they brought in 11 guys for each potential draft spot. And look, some of those guys, as we've mentioned before, are guys that they feel will be undrafted even, and could be guys that you just sign
the back to the or back. I mean, even then, at the back of the draft, this is the draftable guys. So these are guys that you know, the Oso Iguodoro's of the world. Even though he's slated between 55 and 58, he's still draftable.
Yeah.
So there's a couple different opportunities there, but yeah, they brought in 44 guys. That's the final tally number.
Golly,
it's a lot. It's a lot of folks to work out.
Now, if Charlotte comes through and snipes the Blazers again and gets the guy that they wanted back-to-back years, do we start a rivalry? Do we have to start a rivalry with Charlotte?
I don't know if you start a rivalry.
Is the Queen City in the Rose City then fighting?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can maybe, mail a fart bomb kind of deal. Like, but...
That just got you on another watch list.
Ah, come
Stinky.
On. Like, there's not a single watch list that I'm not on.
Yeah. Actually, that's been
true. Somehow, I'm still on TSA PreCheck. That guy, he's been on government airlines enough. He's been fine.
They gotta tighten that up.
Yeah, no.
They've gotta tighten that up. You got PreCheck. Can you get clear, though?
Yeah, that's what. No, I do.
You got clear.
I had to get it for to travel to Hawaii.
Wait, you had to?
Yeah. During the pandemic.
Oh, during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To get to Hawaii, you had to have it. As weird as that is. I'm so sorry. You didn't have to have it. It's just when you got to Hawaii, you would have to spend like 5 hours in line. And I was not about that life.
So, yeah.
Again, this is not me being against Dalton Connect. I like him as a player. One of the things that I noticed when I actually got to see him in person, he's bigger than I thought. He's 6'5", close to 6'6", decent wingspan. He's not like incredibly long, but he's not Nikola Topic, where he's got a negative wingspan. He can score from every level. Like, he's not the typical white guy shooter. Yeah, he can get his shot off. There's no doubt about that. But he's also a guy who can attack off the bounce a little bit. He can get into the mid-range. He can get to the rim. His handle is tight enough to where he can create his own shot. He's created for others. Like, Tennessee went to him and said, run our offense. And so you take a look at that and you go, okay, he was very efficient. He was very productive. I've heard people say, well, he's not a good defender. Very, 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 very few people in the history of the NBA who are that kind of prolific offensively are also good defenders, because you have to expend so much energy on the offensive side of the floor. So if you dial back his usage rate, I do think he's a functional defender. Now, I do worry about him, like who he defends, because he's kind of caught in between, not fast enough for twos, maybe needs to get a little bit stronger to handle most threes that are like, again, You don't have Luka stoppers. You don't have Kawhi stoppers. That's why they are who they are. But you take a look at those kind of guys, and you're like, can you see Dalton Knecht starting and guarding that guy night in, night out?
And that goes back to our conversation that we had about Knecht early on in the draft process when he was one of the first wave of guys to come through and work out for Portland. Mm-hmm. Was his usage rate at Tennessee was so high, ball was in his hand so often that you then have that conversation of, all right, does he have the ability to work more off ball and have that spot up shooter ability? And by all accounts, all the evaluations say yes, he does.
I mean, here's your number.
He can operate without the ball in his hand and still be just as effective.
In the spot up, with percentage sports, he was at a 94th percentile in points per possession.
Okay.
In all of college basketball. On volume. So, yeah. He can do it on the ball. He can do it off the ball. And I think he's the kind of guy who makes a ton of sense for this team in general. But
we're talking ourselves into it.
I'm not talking myself into it. I understand the motivations behind it. I think it's more of a, this is a, not square peg round hole, but it's like octagon peg round hole. Like, you can make it fit. You can stuff it in there. But It's gonna be a little tough.
Story of Danny's life. You can stuff it in there.
I mean, it's, you know, it's if there's a will, there's a way situation, right? You know, every now and then the wood chipper, you need something a little push on the back end, right?
I love it.
All right, coming up next, we will be joined by Trailblazers beat reporter, I believe this is his official title.
Content creator.
Longtime coverer of the Portland Trail Blazers, Mr. Casey Holdall. He will join us on the back end in hour number three here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.